and welcome to the Crossroads Career Podcast. Crossroads' mission is to help people find and follow Jesus Christ through Crossroads in their careers. We work to do this by educating, equipping, and encouraging people to hear God calling, maximize their potential, and get the right job. My name is Laura, and I will be hosting today's podcast episode, which is an interview with Joel Colavito and Mark Delaney, who are both coaches who focus on helping people live out their lives with passion and purpose. Today's conversation is so encouraging and includes some really great stories, and I'm so excited to be sharing this conversation with you today. Hello, and welcome to the Crossroads Career Podcast. Will you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. My name is Joe Colavito, and I am the Purpose Champion at Journey Life. And I was blessed to come across our other guest, Mark Delaney, almost 2 weeks ago, Mark?
That is correct. Probably three.
Perfect.
We had an instant connection around broken hearts for people who are pursuing a paycheck or believe that their career is their only purpose. And Mark had some wisdom he laid down on me that I couldn't write down fast enough. And so I'm excited to be joining him in this session.
Absolutely. And Mark, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, my name is Mark Delaney. I am driven by this one mission of helping people to, in one sentence, say their purpose and help them be set free to pursue it boldly. Everyone's got purpose and they can know it. And that's our driving force in what we do.
Fantastic. And where are you guys coming to us from today?
I'm coming from Oklahoma, near Tulsa.
All right.
And I'm in a little town, Wake Forest, just north of Raleigh.
All right. How did you two get connected with each other and with Crossroads?
I can handle the Crossroads part. And this morning I was thinking about how we got connected. And other than by God, I'm a little fuzzy. But I am friends with David Sparkman, who has played a significant role in Career Crossroads. And I have spoken at Crossroads of Career Events over the years because I have a heart for people in transition, people who just are going through the motions instead of feeling they've got that purpose that Mark just alluded to. And I think we might have been introduced by a friend in LinkedIn is the best I could come up with.
Yeah, I had wrote an article for a magazine in Texas, and Joe, a friend of yours, read it and sent me a message on LinkedIn. And then someone who works with you, actually. And I saw her profile and I was like, wait, what are these humans doing over there? Because that's the same thing I'm doing. So then I reached out to you to say, hey, you guys are doing good work. Keep it up. So that's how we connected.
All right. So you've both said you guys are interested in helping people find purpose and passion in their lives and their careers. So Joe, will you tell us what led you to where you are now with Journey Life?
Yeah, so I'm going to start way back. I'm a senior graduating high school, and I say to my father, who was a principal in an elementary school, and my mother was a fifth grade teacher, I'm going to be a teacher just like you.
Mm-hmm.
To which my dad immediately responds, you don't want to do that. You won't make enough money. So he sends me off to a junior college into the engineering program because people from IBM made more money than teachers and they had better vacations and better cars and better homes. They didn't have a better life, but my dad perceived that they did. And so I was about to fail out of engineering. Literally every class I was taking was just not my cup of tea. And I was rescued by mononucleosis. So shout out to mononucleosis. I get a medical withdrawal. And I go back into the business school and I immediately fall in love with psychology and marketing and the blend of what makes humans tick and what makes some successful and others not, and how do they change behavior. And I announced to my marketing professor, I'm going to go into marketing, to which he immediately responds, you don't want to do that. You won't get a job. So the first two people that I reached out to, I wouldn't make enough money and I wouldn't get a job. And so I ended up 10 jobs in the first 16 years of my career. And I was able to escalate my paycheck up to significant numbers and was empty as empty could be on the inside. And so my mission in life is to not allow anyone else, at least if I can help it, going down that path and realizing how empty it is when you chase paycheck and forfeit purpose.
Yeah. What a story. Thank you for sharing that. So Mark, how did you get to where you are now? I understand you coach people towards purpose in their lives.
Yeah, we primarily just do one coaching program called the Purpose Mastermind. It's just five meetings. And how did we get here? It was never the plan. My son, one of them said recently, he said, Dad, you've always done this. Now you're just doing it differently. Because my background is in pastoring and also in teaching at Christian schools, teaching Bible. And I reached a time in my life about 4 years ago where I felt like there was more I needed to give as a man. I felt like everything in my life was kind of forcing me to just settle for comfort and security and stay there until you die. And I felt the walls closing in, and I had to decide if I wanted to have comfort and security or if I wanted to give my best to the world. It was in that time of transition that a lot of things changed in my life. There's a long story I could tell about an eagle right here, but I'll just, for shortness sake, just say that this is something that's come from our life. It was never the plan, but now we do it every day.
That's awesome. It's so interesting how the plans that we make are often not the directions that we end up taking for reasons, and how God uses that in people's lives. So that, thank you for sharing that.
It's interesting that we boldly proclaim that God is the author and finisher of our faith, but we sure like to hold the pen in our hand as if somehow we know where it's going to start and finish.
Absolutely. And I mean, I think God realizes that about us too. One of my favorite verses is the verse, I believe it's in Psalms, but it could be in Proverbs. It's in there somewhere that says that man may make his plans, but the Lord will direct his steps.
I literally was just thinking about that as he was speaking, and it's Proverbs 16, verse 9.
Yes, that's the one. But I cling to that so often because I am naturally bent towards making plans, you know, myself. But I have to hold them loosely. I don't think it's bad to make plans, but you just have to realize that God just might take that perfect little plan that you have and throw it out the window in favor of something much bigger and better than we could have planned. And it sounds like that happened in some ways to both of you guys. So that's really cool.
Yeah. So Laura, if I could, I'll just, one of the questions you had asked, you know, us to think about was, you know, did we ever face a career crossroads? And I did. And Mark triggered it when he was just speaking. So in 2002, I'm still an executive recruiter, right? That was the path that I had gone down for paycheck. Mm-hmm. And I had come to know Jesus about a year and a half before that. I would have done anything to stop being in the path I was in and to find the right path for my career, but I didn't know how to get there. So I did the only thing I knew how to do. And I literally just held my hands up and I said, Father, I've chosen all these jobs, 10 jobs in 16 years, and I've chosen them. But in this moment, I give you my life. I give you my career. And so if you just point out whatever the path is, whatever the job is you want me to take next, I will take it. No questions asked. But you got to make sure it's from you.
Yeah.
And so I took a less than 50 cents on the dollar roll compared to the worst years I'd had over the past 5 years. So I got away from paycheck. And when I joined this company, the second week they put me through life purpose training.
Wow.
So he knew exactly where to put me so that not only would I have a desire to live and work on purpose, but he would put me in a place where I would know how to. And so that was September 2003 was the first time I crafted what Mark referred to as, I can tell you my purpose in one line. And from that, I can navigate my life.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you guys talk about purpose, talk to us a little bit about knowing that purpose and finding it and the importance of being able to say that in that one line. What difference does that make?
Yeah, I actually had a dream about a week ago because I think about purpose all the time. And in this dream I had, there was a little boy with a baseball bat and he was swinging with all his might, but he was blindfolded. Mm. And I just think about without purpose, life is holding a bat, the feeling that you must hit a home run, that you were born to hit a home run, but you're blindfolded and you don't even know if you're at home plate or not. You can't see a pitch coming. So you just swing and swing and swing, and swinging without contact is it's a futile feeling. Knowing your purpose is the blindfold is off. You go to home plate, you see the pitch coming. It doesn't bother you that you miss every now and then, but you're swinging at something on purpose and the next pitch is coming. So to me, that the difference it makes in how you feel about who you are and how you approach everything, that's the dream I had. So that's the current way I would answer that question.
That's spot on.
I love that, Mark, and I'll just build on it. And we talked about this in an earlier call, but I stumbled across a quote about a decade ago. and it's by Marcus Aurelius. And he actually shared this quote in his journal in 121 AD. So it's a 1900-year-old quote. And this is what drives me every day. People who labor all of their lives, but have no purpose to direct every thought and impulse toward, are wasting their time, even when hard at work.
Oof.
And so every day I'm waking up thinking about that. How many people are swinging with the blindfold on and unaware of, you know, what they're even swinging at? And so in response to your question, we have a very simple definition of purpose that everybody can gravitate toward. Okay. Purpose is an individual's unique design to change the status quo for others. So you, Laura, you, Mark, you, every listener out there, you have been designed by God on purpose, Ephesians 2:10, to complete a work that he began in advance. So you just ask him, he takes the blindfold off and contact.
I love that.
Will you say that definition one more time, Joe, of purpose?
Absolutely. Purpose is an individual's unique design to change the status quo for others. And so every person is built with unique gifts, experiences, talents, strengths, desires, things that break their heart, things that make their heart jump. And all they have to do, and this is what purpose does for all of us, is it focuses our attention and our intention on things that matter. And so if you have purpose, your attention and intention get focused on things that matter. Blindfold comes off. Contact.
All right. Wow. Yeah, that's it right there. So then if someone is blindfolded right now, or they're misaligned in what they're doing, where do they go from here? How do they figure this out? How do you go from purposeless and aimless to on point and targeted and all of that?
If I could add to that question, Mark, I want you to briefly share the four confusing mindsets, because that really drew me to you. And I feel like it's in line with what she's asking right now. So just share the first one, I think would trigger you.
Yeah. The good news is a person can feel completely aimless and purposeless. And at the same time, they can be as close as one conversation away from that changing very quickly. Normally, though, when I've been living my life with a blindfold for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, I need someone else to come behind me and unloosen that knot. But it can happen so quickly. It can happen incredibly quickly. For instance, as I look at purpose, it's there's confusing mindsets we have that prevent us from knowing our purpose. The first one we talk about is the thought that my job is my purpose. When someone thinks their job is their purpose, you'll never find it. Purpose is not something you find outside of you. If you think your job is your purpose, every job will be disappointing because you're asking it to give you something it cannot give. A person who doesn't know their purpose and they think their job is it, they can try 1,000 jobs and every one of them will be disappointing. They'll think they have the wrong job. I chose the wrong career. A person who has their purpose on the inside of them, they could try 1,000 jobs and probably about 700 would work just fine. Because instead of asking their job to give them purpose, they are bringing their purpose to their job. And that changes how you work every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm going to expand on that. And this was the connecting point for Mark and I. When he said that, I was like, yes. Yes, Mark, right? Yeah. You bring your purpose to your job. And so at Journey Life, what we talk about is that you have one purpose, but you have five missions. Mm-hmm. And to build on Mark's comment, we don't believe you have to find your purpose. We believe that's another confusing mindset. We believe you have to pursue your purpose. To Mark's point, it's hardwired inside of you. It's your reason for being. It's your built-in navigation system. You just have to turn it on and use it. Mm. And so we have one purpose and five missions: family, friends, career, community, and cause.
Okay. Yeah.
All five.
Come on.
So we have one purpose. We pour that into all five missions. Then the result is we experience incredible personal fulfillment and we have a lasting impact in the lives of others. That's the hybrid fuel that people are missing out on. So what makes my heart jump and what breaks my heart basically are the hybrid fuel that purpose flows through what breaks my heart and my family, my friendships, my career, my community, and my cause.
Yeah. No, that's powerful. So at Crossroads, our mission is to help people hear God calling, maximize their potential, and get the right job. So I'm curious, this might be a game of semantics, but whether you would say that there is a difference between God calling and purpose, or whether those are very similar terms in the ways that you use them and how that interacts, and then how that knowledge helps you to maximize your potential and get the right job. So I might have just opened a can of worms, but I'm interested.
Yeah.
You go ahead, Mark, but I'm going to share a story of my actual calling when he's done.
No, this is great. I lived for a long time with what I think is one of the greatest pains a human can live with, and that is the pain of unmet expectations. Mm. But a lot of it, oftentimes, our unmet expectations are caused by wrong expectations, unrealistic expectations. And in my case, when I was a teenager, I sensed a call to ministry, which then I equated to, you work for a church, you stand behind a pulpit, you get paid by a church. Mm-hmm. And there came a time in my life in my young 30s where I left pastoring a church to teach Bible at a Christian school. And I really wrestled with, had I missed God's call for my life? So unmet expectations, when you feel like your life isn't what you expected, it's one thing. When we put the faith portion into this, when we feel like we have missed the expectation that God had for us, then this is it's a stifling place to get to, where a person is at this, you talk about a crossroad, when you're 40, 50 years old, and you look at your life and you think, either I have failed God or God has failed me.
Oof.
But the pain of that is caused by unrealistic expectations. And so in my life, for instance, I realized, wait, ministry is not a position. It's a way of living. Hmm. It's in my home. It's in my career. It's in my car. It's at the gas station. It's at the grocery store. Like, ministry is like, all ministry is the same. Matthew 5:16, I believe. Let your light so shine before men, they'll see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That means everywhere we go, everything we do, we are in the ministry. So for me, when I let go of the weight of unmet expectations that I've failed God, that was a huge thing. But the feeling that I had failed God was bad theology. It wasn't necessarily my life, and it certainly wasn't what God had done in my life. It was how I thought about what God was doing in my life.
Right.
I love that. And I love it. And I'll pick up on it. So unrealistic expectations, confusing mindsets, right? They're all in the same bucket. And one of those is that we have one specific reason we're here. It's like, I have a calling. And if I miss this calling, I miss everything. And I end up with regret on my last day. So I'm driving down the road in 2012. It's actually August 16th, 2012. I had just left this amazing place where they taught me to be on purpose. And then I helped teach hundreds of others how to be on purpose. And I'm asking God, what's next? What do we have next? And I turn on my radio and there's a sermon and I hear, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. And it's so loud that I remember turning from 27 on the volume down to 12. Second time, it was louder. I went from 12 to 4. The third time, as soon as it began, I thought it was going to rupture an eardrum. I turned it off. And in that moment, I felt the power of the Holy Spirit. And I had four questions immediately come to mind. If you want me to feed your sheep, I just need to know, who are they? Where are they? How do I find them? And what do you want me to feed them? So it was a calling that was universal, because he said, start with your family. Those are sheep. And then look in your workplace. Those are sheep. Bah. And when you're at the grocery store, and when you're at the soccer game, and when you see somebody broken down on the side of the road, and when you're in your church, wherever you are, feed my sheep. That's your purpose, Joe. Your purpose, and it is my purpose, is to encourage everyone to realize their full potential. Do that by sharing my word when I give it to you, when they need it. And so that navigates my career, that navigates my parenting, my being a husband, my being a friend. So it's one purpose, but I think there are multiple callings. So we would say a calling is more of a mission, and your purpose is more of your reason for being and kind of your built-in Holy Spirit navigation system.
Okay.
It's an incredible question you ask, Laura, and I wish we had a weekend around a campfire to talk about it. I saw a couple former students of mine. They had gone to a Christian school, private Christian school, kindergarten through 12th grade, and then a great Christian university, and they're about to graduate, and I saw them, and I was so excited, and I was like, so what's next in your life? This is great. You're graduating. And they both gave the same answer that sounds so right, but I wonder why they're thinking it. They said, we're just waiting on God. Hmm. Waiting on God. There's a lot to unpack with that, but oftentimes I think the waiting on God is a perspective of our heart that we always have. But you wait on God while you're moving and pursuing the general universal will of God. I think many people, their life gets confusing when they hunger for the specific will of God while ignoring the general universal will of God. And if we are passionately pursuing every day the general universal mission of God on planet Earth, I think the specifics kind of take care of themselves. I trust God with the specifics. I'm going to do the general every single day.
Yeah. You know, I heard a great illustration recently, and I believe it was Pastor Osborne at North Coast Church. So I'm going to try and attribute that correctly here. But he was talking about how following the will of God is like being on a football team. And you know, the coach can call you into the huddle and say, hey, number 12, go run this specific play. But the rest of the time, you know how to play football. You've been practicing playing football, and you can't wait for the coach to say, go play football, catch the ball, run the ball, get the next down. You know that that's how the game is played. And until the coach calls you over and gives you a specific instruction, you just play football. And when the coach says, go run this specific play, you run the specific play. And I just love that. It clicked for me. It made a lot of sense to me. So
it's really good. The average person sits on the sideline waiting for the specific play.
Yeah.
When most of life is living out the general. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm laughing right now because this is my quiet time this morning. These are my notes, okay? This was looking up in 1 Kings chapter 3 when God said to Solomon in a dream, what do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you. And everyone knows that Solomon asked for wisdom. What you all have just been discussing is literally in this note, you know, wise guy, it says. When given a chance to ask for anything in the world, Solomon asked for wisdom to rule his people. God invites us to ask for wisdom and promises to give it. But gaining wisdom won't guarantee that life will always be problem-free. Having wisdom also won't mean that you will automatically know everything. Notice that Solomon asked for wisdom to carry out his job. He did not ask God to do his job for him. We should not ask God to do for us what he wants to equip us to do ourselves. Instead, we should ask God to give us the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to follow through on it.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. God's got his job. We've got our job. And waiting around, to your point, Mark, is not our job. Like, there's a point to wait on the Lord. And then there's a point to say, okay, Lord, I believe you're asking me to join Journey Life. It doesn't make any sense. I'm going to have to burn the plow and the oxen on my sales training business and start from scratch with no income. Do you really want me to do that at 56? And he's like, yep, I wouldn't have planted it in your heart if I didn't.
All right. Oh, so good. Oh, thank you. So then when we're looking at, so you guys both do coaching to some extent. It might be called different things or whatever, but how does coaching work? And why should somebody consider coaching for their life or their work?
I tell you, coaching is nothing new. All it is what scripture calls iron sharpening iron. We just don't do that anymore in culture. Our families are too busy that we're not having conversations in our home. We're too busy for a dad to go out and change the oil with his son or daughter, teaching them how to do it. We're too busy for these life-forming conversations. Even in our churches are getting bigger in size, but tiny in connection. So people aren't connected. They just go, they're an audience among many, but they don't have connected relationships. In our schools, our great teachers all across the country are being forced reach these standards. Get your kids to know this information for standardized testings. We don't let our teachers mentor. And so what coaching is very simple. It's, you know, I think in life, all of us experience times in life where if our life is a room, it's just gotten kind of dark. And it's gotten dark enough that there's things that we trip on. And we can trip on it every single day. Coaching is having someone to just flip the light switch back on for us. And we can look at our life and say, oh, I'm tripping on that. I can move that. But not only that, you look at your life and you forget the things that you've forgotten because you're not seeing them. You've forgotten potential and you've forgotten what you love and you've forgotten what you're good at, because when life gets dark, all we think about is the darkness. And all we fear is our problems. Coaching is someone flipping on the light switch and you go, oh, I forgot what my life was. And you could find it again so quickly. And all a coach does is flip the light switch on.
Yeah, I would add to that. I read a book. I'm not going to remember the author right now, so I apologize. But the title of the book was You Already Know How to Be Great. So that has been for over a decade the foundation to whether I call it coaching or mentoring or the name doesn't matter. But I only have one goal, and that's to help you turn to a clear vision of you. Because when you can see yourself the way that God sees you, suddenly you will know no limits, right? And I'm not saying that I can choose at 56 years old that I want to play in the NBA, right? This comment that you can be anything you want to be, no. You can be what God created you to be and be grateful for that and be content in that, right? So your purpose, if left undone, leaves many people in the wake that don't have someone speaking into their life and changing the status quo. So how you do it and how Mark does it and how I do it will be completely different by design. And so to me, coaching, I love the flipping the light switch on and seeing what people are stumbling on, because it aligns with my promise. And my promise is to always help you see clearly, choose wisely, and act boldly. And so there are steps to it. If I can't see it, if I don't know, you know, what my desired destination looks like, how will I know when I get there?
Yeah.
And so we talk a lot about being able to see your purpose and see your purpose play out in the lives of others.
Perfect. So for both of you, there's been crossroads that you've identified and experienced in your own career and some of the challenges of that and some of the things that brought you hope. So talk to somebody who's in a career crossroads right now, what you would tell them about the spot they're in.
I would encourage them to, number one, get some help. Get some help from someone. And the simple phrase I would say is that be comes before do. Everything in our culture is pressing people with the question, what are you going to do? What should you do? But if we're not the person we should be, do becomes impossible. It just becomes impossible. Back to the illustration of someone who's blindfolded. They have a bat. It doesn't matter if you have a bat in your hand if you're blindfolded. Taking the blindfold off helps us to be. Who should I be as a person? Be will lead to do. It does not work the opposite way. So that's the piece of advice I would give that person. Because if you're at a crossroads in career, you can look out and think, man, there's thousands of options. Which one am I supposed to do? That would be so instinctual to think that. Unfortunately, how do I possibly know what I should do? Well, stop asking the question, what I should do. Who should I be? Who am I? And then the do comes, it comes in as a natural overflow of being.
Yeah, I'm going to build on that. So who am I? Why am I here? How do I make the greatest impact in the lives of others? And you're going to notice that's not a, what company should I work for? What job title should I have? That's my reason for being my built-in navigation system. But here's the first thing I would tell everyone to do. Pivot back to God. God is your number one career search strategy. And here's the verse that I used to get there. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. And in a book I wrote called Job Track to Joyride, how you get off the job track with the busyness mark and get to the joyride, the fulfillment of purpose. I asked God permission to tweak just that last piece. And you will find joy in your job. Mm-hmm. So if you want joy in your job, ask God, who am I? Why am I here? How do I make the most impact in others' lives? Back to Mark's earlier point, there could be 1,000 jobs and I could probably, I'm going to up the ante, Mark, I could probably make an impact in people's lives in 950 of those 1,000.
Come on.
Now, I might not bring the full passion to each one of those that I have in doing what I do now, but I could definitely impact lives on purpose from the accounting platform I used to be on, the recruiting platform, the, you know, sales coaching platform. I have. They were all a platform for ministry. And God's purpose flowed out through me in all of those. It just so happens to be that my heart jumps the most for mentoring and leading people to purpose.
I'm glad you said that. I could go back to the old job that I had. I discussed this with my wife recently. I said, wonder what would happen if I had that job again? I would do it so differently because I'm a different person. Most people, they think their job is their problem. It's almost always how they think about their job that's the problem, and which stems from how they think about themselves. Can I finish with a story? I'm holding a baseball a student gave to me because I told them a story about how when I was a boy, I always wanted a baseball at a major league baseball game. Yeah. My family, we didn't have a lot of money, and I was at a time in life when major league baseballs, I don't know if you could buy them, you get them at a game if someone hit a foul ball. And I just dreamt, it was my greatest life, you know, hope is that someday the ball would come my way and I would be at the right spot holding my glove and I would get it. I remember I was 10 years old one time and we used to, every year we'd go to Cleveland and see my grandparents and then my Uncle Andy would pick us up on Monday night and take us to the ballpark. Old Cleveland Stadium, 80,000 seats, and 72,000 of them would be empty because there was about 7,000 or 8,000 fans there. My brother and I, we would move from seat to seat, section to section, hoping for our magical moment. When will I get my ball? We were sitting about 10 rows behind first base. And we, for a couple innings, my brother and I went out to right field. There were hardly any fans there. We thought, man, what if we got a home run hit? And that didn't happen. But while we were sitting in right field, we noticed a foul ball hit near our section. We didn't know how close, but it was close. And when we got back, my Uncle Andy and my dad just laughed at me. They said, Mark, it landed on your seat. Oh. It hit my seat, bounced up in the air, and the guy right behind me is holding that baseball. Life can feel like there's one magical moment, one magical seat, in that one magical ball, and they all have to align. But if I miss it, what next? Am I sidelined for the rest of it? But let me fast forward. So that was when I was 10. I'm 23. I'm at that same ballpark with my wife. She's about, I think, 6 months pregnant with my first son. And we're in left field. Now the place is packed because it's the last three games ever at this stadium. They're going to lose the stadium. So now there's 77,000 people. My wife is sitting on the aisle. I'm right beside her to her right. And Bo Jackson hits a home run right beside her. My wife is pregnant. I still have my mitt. I'm still dreaming. I can't get through her pregnant body. The guy right behind her reaches down and catches it. A Bo Jackson home run. But listen to this. 4 years later, I'm taking my first son to a ball game.
Aww.
One of the greatest joys of my life is going to a ballpark. My dad took me, my relatives took me, and now I'm taking Matthew. He's 4, and I'm carrying him in my arms, and we're crossing the street. and we're approaching the gate, and you can look through the gate and see the field. And we get to the gate. We're not in yet. Batting practice was happening, and someone hit a baseball up on the concourse, and a security officer picked it up, and he walked over, and he handed it to my son. And I thought, wait a second, Matthew, you don't even know what's happening to you right now. This is the dream of my life, and it's never happened, and you don't even know what's happening to you. But as I think about that story, I think about how the way we look at our life, we think that I'm supposed to be in the perfect seat at the perfect time for the perfect ball. But life is about that experience where, because some woman chose to love me, and she gave birth to this son, and I got to hold him in my arms and take him to experience something, and he got a ball. Life is not about me getting a ball. Life is about me carrying someone else to help them experience getting a ball. That's why life has so much purpose. And it's oftentimes just the tweaking of perspective that enables us to live boldly on purpose every day.
Yeah. And talk about unmerited grace and favor there too.
Yes.
Like, your little guy didn't even know all of the... No. All of the journey that had led up into that point of him just getting a baseball because he was there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to ask you a quick question, Mike. I already know the answer, but if you could trade having not been out and caught the one that landed in your seat while you were gone, or having that gentleman hand one to Matthew, which one would you choose?
All day, every day. Let me hold my son and help him experience something.
Yeah, so sometimes the beautiful thing about purpose is, and I shared back with you in 2003, I said, Lord, you choose the job and I will take it. 2012, he says, feed my sheep. 2020, COVID hits and reminds me of a conversation I was having with the Lord a few months earlier in November as I was walking the beach. And I'm going to show a prop, Mark, I think I showed to you. Laura, you've got to be my eyes because the audience won't be able to see this, but Journey Life's logo is a hexagon, and I stubbed my toe on this.
A lovely hexagonal rock.
On a beach in Cabo while I was at, yeah. So a perfect hexagon rock that makes no sense to be on a beach where it was raked every day. There were no rocks on the beach. And while I was asking, do you want me to be involved in Journey Life? I stubbed my toe on this. If it wasn't for COVID shutting everything down, which caused a huge pause in my sales training and coaching business. So the other piece of advice I would give people is be grateful when you get benched. Because you'll stay in a game that maybe isn't the game you're supposed to be playing. You'll stay in a role for security, for paychecks and benefits. But sometimes you can feel deep down in your gut, you just don't have the courage to just fire yourself. Because you're so worried about, well, what if I'm on the bench longer than I can afford to be? What if I'm on the bench and it outstrips our savings? And I'll just tell you, I've been on that bench four or five times. I've been on it this whole past year. I just had to borrow some money from my parents to pay some taxes because the cash flow coming in from a client won't be here till later this week. But I needed to make the payment on Friday. And so why do I share that? Because it's never about the money. It's always about the purpose. And so I'll share this with you as kind of my closing thought. You can't use basic math to find your higher path. If you try to use your paycheck to find your purpose, you will never find it. But if you pursue your purpose, you will discover that paychecks and provision are availed to you. They will come, maybe not exactly when, right? So there's about an 8-day delay in when I'm going to get that paycheck to pay my taxes. But, you know, that's what family, that's what friends, that's what community is about. So I borrow for 4 or 5 days, pay the bill on time, and then God provides 7 or 8 days later. By the way, it gives my parents a sense of purpose because they're still in my life and they're still helping me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I got benched so hard at the end of 19, beginning of 2020, and have since then found so much fulfillment and purpose. And so I can personally attest to the veracity of what you're saying, that, like, yep, yeah, that's accurate. So, well, is there anything else that you guys wanted to make sure that you shared while you're with us today?
I think we could all talk all day, to be honest with you.
Oh, I'm sure.
I would say to anyone, it's not too late. You haven't missed it. And for most people, the most common thing I find that one of the maybe the most confusing mindsets that I like to help people with is the thought that I've messed up my life so it can't have purpose. That is such a lie. And anyone who dares to boldly face the greatest pain or failure of their life, that dark cave that we're afraid to go into is probably within it the gold mine that our life was intended for. And that's a story I didn't get into, which was the dark cave of my life. That'll be for a different day, I guess. But I had one thing in my life that told me every single day, every single moment, that because of this, you can't be what you're designed to be. And when I was just willing to face that boldly, I found out that it was a lie that I'd messed up my life. And so I would say to anyone, it's not too late. You haven't missed it. And your life is not too messed up for you to live on purpose.
Amen.
I'm so grateful to you, Laura, for inviting us to this, and Mark, for us being responsive to each other, that I just feel like we should do this together as opposed to me just doing it. I think it's such a greater blessing for the listener. But I'm going to play on words for a second as my final thought. Trial and trail use the same letters. Okay. So one of the first exercises we do is we encourage people to go back and take an inventory, reflect upon every trial they've had, that if they could have avoided, they would have avoided it. And recognize that each and every one of those trials comes together. The trial becomes the trail to pursue your purpose. And what I mean by that is, if my father had not said, you won't make enough money, and if my marketing professor had not said, you won't get a job, I would not have gone through the trial of 10 jobs in 16 years, even though I was making $500,000 a year at one point. I wouldn't have gone through the trial of giving all that up to pivot to purpose so that I could look people in the eye and say, celebrate when you get benched. Recognize that you're fireproof, just like Shadrach and Abednego and Meshach, right? You can be fired, but you're still fireproof because God has a plan for you. And that plan is to put you in a position where you can glorify him as you change the status quo for others. And by doing that, you're going to experience meaningful relationships, meaningful missions, and meaningful moments on purpose, like nothing else you've ever lived in your life. And so, Mark, thank you. Laura, thank you for having us. I pray that every single person celebrates getting benched, celebrates their trials, and realizes that it's never, never, never too late. You can't miss it. And it says in Philippians 1:6, this is my closing thought. He who began a good work in you on purpose, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. That's a promise you can stand on.
Absolutely. Well, Joe and Mark, thank you so much for joining us today. If people want to find you on the internet, where should they go to connect with you?
Boy, I wish if anyone lives in Tulsa, Oklahoma, I'd just give you my address. Just come on over. Let's go. But on the internet, the boring place, markdelaney.me, and a website, purposemastermind.com.
Yeah, you can find us at gojourneylife.com. gojourneylife.com. And I'm going to do something bold. I felt it in my spirit as Mark was answering. This is my personal mobile number, 404-213-8997. If you are struggling, if you are unsure if you have a purpose or how to find your, or to discover your purpose and play it out in your life, then text me if going to the website's not enough for you. Do not try to do this on your own. Back to Mark's earlier point, we were built on purpose to do life together on purpose. So if we can help you, reach out to me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing that and sharing of yourself today, both of you guys. I will put your websites in our show notes so that people can just go click on them. And I just so appreciate your time today and all that God is doing in and through you. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. Good times.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Crossroads Career Podcast. Visit our website at crossroadscareer.org for weekly blog posts, monthly webinars, access to free job search tools, and to purchase resources like our You Were Created for Good Works workbook. You can also download our mobile app to get free daily encouragement, request prayer, and more. Remember that Ephesians 2:10 says, "We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." May you be blessed this week as you seek to hear God's calling, maximize your potential, and get the right job.